casino people ran about 4,200 television ads in the last 30 days of the campaign, and the opponents ran zero because they didn't have any money to do it. That is usually the story about these battles. It's remarkable that the anti-casino people usually win about half of them, and the pro-casino people win the other half. As far as a statewide vote, it's a much more difficult vote than it is if it is a local vote where your actual community is being impacted. But for example, in Newport, in Rhode Island, Newport's opposition to casinos won a major victory. At the same time, Massachusetts was voting the other way. So it's a mixed bag, but on the whole, it appears that the casinos still have momentum.
The casinos in your home state of Connecticut, the two major casinos, are not doing well. They've reported some losses of late. Despite that, other states seem to be moving full steam ahead.
I think that they're not looking at what is happening in places like New Jersey and Connecticut, where the situation is almost as serious. And it's not just in New Jersey and Connecticut, but you can look at the number of other states across the country as well. Delaware, for example, now has put $41 million toward bailing out its three casinos. It looks like the casino revenue in Pennsylvania is topping out. And that is true in a number of states. So the dynamics of the business are changing dramatically. And that's true. The public perception does not seem to have caught up with that. But the fact of the matter is it is changing. And as it continues to change, I would expect that more and more people are going to be taking a very serious look at the downside of bringing a casino into their area.
You authored a book called The Curse, Big-Time Gambling's Seduction of a Small New England Town. It's a fact-based novel. Tell us more about it, how you bring out your opposition to casinos dealing with fictional characters. And what's this all based on?
Well, the book is a novel set against the explosion of casino gambling here in Connecticut during the 1990s, when two Indian tribes built the world's two biggest casinos in the southeastern corner of our state. And the story starts with the Pequot War back in the 1600s, when the Connecticut colonists got together with their Mohegan allies and defeated and destroyed the Pequots, who were the largest and most warlike of the Connecticut tribes. The story then jumps some 350 years as these two tribes reemerge almost miraculously to build these two enormous casinos in southeastern Connecticut. And in the story, a fictional Connecticut family led by one of the descendants of one of the Puritan soldiers who fought in that war, he and his family become embroiled in a battle to stop a third casino that threatens the town's future and the family's ancestral home. So the story is really a Faustian tale about a small quintessential New England town faced with a dilemma of accepting this one of these enormously lucrative and seductive offers by a casino to come into their community, having to decide between that on the one hand and trying to preserve the character and the values of their community.
There's just over 2 weeks to go before the decision on a casino is expected in New York. You're speaking tonight to a group in East Greenbush opposed to casino plans there. With the clock ticking down with just a few weeks to go, what do you plan to tell these people as the decision nears?
Well, I'm going to talk about the takeaway from Connecticut's casino experience. And there are really three major takeaways. First, the economic benefits of bringing in a casino are rapidly declining as the Northeast becomes saturated with casinos, and they increasingly cannibalize one another. Second, the main argument for bringing a casino into an area has been that it will attract gamblers from outside the area and pump new money into the area's economy. Connecticut's casinos, however, are faltering seriously at the present time because that is happening less and less and is projected to continue to happen less and less as more and more states have their own casinos. And finally, based on Connecticut's experience, New York can expect that once the initial success of New York's casinos begins to fade and the casino revenue begins to decline, New York will try to replace that declining revenue by encouraging still more gambling, which is exactly what's happening in Connecticut. Whether it be more casinos, scratch-off tickets, internet gambling, or the latest initiative down in New Jersey, sports betting. And I'd say in conclusion, what I'll say in conclusion this evening is that with the social and public health costs of casinos increasing and the economic arguments used to justify those costs unraveling, it'd be difficult to choose a worse time to bring a casino into a community, and especially into a community like East Greenbush, where so many residents have made it crystal clear that they want no part of it.